Welcome to the Hospital of Choice podcast. This series will present hospital leaders with training, tools, and perspective to manage patient experience as measured by your HCAHPS scores. Today's session by Brian Lee, CEO of Custom Learning Systems Group, is on value-based purchasing leadership preparation.
Well, let me walk you through the 13 stepping stones to value-based, value-added service. And that's what I really want to talk in terms now is value-based service, except base is nowhere. Let's talk about value-added service. What I'm about to cover, by the way, we have a checklist called Winning at HCAHPS Checklist, and it's going to cover these 13 points. And again, if you want a blueprint of where to go and how to get there, this would be a good outline, and you can download it again after this webinar is over. Also, so let me carry on here. Recommendation number one, and that is invite everyone participates in an HCAHPS Best Practice Service Excellence Workshop. Everyone. I'm talking managers, frontline staff, volunteers. I'm talking those at the bedside, and I'm talking support and ancillary services need to understand their role. There are those who serve the patient and family, and those who serve the patient and family. And there is not an unimportant individual in a hospital or in one of your related organizations. Now, what you do need to understand is there's a difference between HCAHPS and traditional peer group surveys, because the HCAHPS survey measures frequency of service recall, whereas a traditional survey mirrors how well patients' expectations were met. In other words, it's about quality and quality improvement. To be successful at HCAHPS, there are five common denominators here. You need to be great at response to concerns and complaints. Responsiveness is key. Number two, you need to address emotional needs, and this is a huge disconnect for most hospitals. Number three, you need to include and consult patients in decisions about their treatment, and why wouldn't you? Because we certainly want to be. Number four, you want to be great at nurses keeping patients informed. And number five, response to call lights. Is it whoever hears or sees a call light responds right away, or is it I'll get there when I feel like it? Now, who better to teach HCAHPS and value-based service than the frontline to frontline? And so the model some of you may be aware of is we are very committed to, we are absolutely obsessed with the concept of taking the best and brightest of your frontline staff, such as the wonderful team at Arkansas Methodist. Brenda McKinney leads that group there, or Unity Health in Shawnee, Oklahoma, Chuck Skillings and his team there. Train your frontline staff to train your peers. We have 28,000 examples of this working, and frankly, you cannot drive caring and commitment from the top down. It must be bought into from the frontline up. And so we've always believed there's a tipping point in transformation, and that is you need 20% of your staff to champion a new idea. And the way we look at it is this. 5% of your leadership and 15% of your frontline engage over 3 years is the tipping point that will gain a buy-in and acceptance by the vast majority of everybody. And incidentally, that includes physicians. My second recommendation is patient care providers need to serve with compassion and empathy. You know, when you look at all the expectations we have and our family members have in a hospital, ultimately when things go wrong, if you can show empathy and compassion personally, one-on-one, you cannot lose. The patient will always win. And so for example, communication with nurses. Number one, how often did the nurses treat you with courtesy and respect? We want to aim for always. Number two, how often did the nurses listen carefully to you? We want that to be an always. And number three, how often did nurses explain things to you in a way that you could understand? So we've created a model that works like a darn, and it's called SERVE. And S is for slow down, smile, and greet. E is explain who you are and what you do. R is respond to the patient's needs and estimated time. V is validate the patient's expectations. And E is express thanks. So S is slow down, smile, and greet. Let's remember that for the patient, being in a hospital is a mystery. It's scary. Being admitted to ER or being admitted to an inpatient unit when they really didn't want to be there, even elective surgery is a very, it's a matter of grave concern. So slow down, acknowledge the person, and welcome them, because for the next couple of hours or day or two or three or 4 days, where you work is going to be where they live. Slow down, smile, and greet. Good morning. May I come in? How are you today, Mrs. Smith? Using their name, using the formal name, of course, is key. And so some of you say, well, I know all this thing. And my question is do you know it, but is it being implemented? Is it being led by your leaders? Is it being implemented on a day-to-day by your staff? E is explain who you are and what you do. This is so key. My name is Lynn. I am one of the team members taking care of you today. I'm from the lab, and I'm going to draw your blood. People need to know who you are. Why are you in the patient's room? And your tone of voice is everything. I'm a certified phlebotomist. For 8 years, I've done thousands of blood draws. You're in good hands. And it doesn't have to be this exact wording, but it does have to be done in a proactive, positive way. And tone of voice is everything. I'm a certified phlebotomist. I've been here for 8 years, and I've done this thousands of times. It's a lot different than with a tone of compassion. R's respond to the patient's needs and estimated time. It's going to take about 5 minutes to draw your blood. You can expect to have the results within 4 days. And again, it takes away the mystery for someone who is mystified. And V is validate the patient's expectations and concern. Your doctor's ordered 3 blood tests, so I'll be collecting 3 vials of blood. These tests will determine nutrients you may be deficient in so we can help you get better. Again, this is very important that everyone that has one-on-one contact understands this concept of serve. First, I'll tie a band on your upper arm, and then you'll feel a slight poke. Do you have any questions before we get started? And finally, E is express thanks for the opportunity to serve. Now, what I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, is when did it become okay for patients to thank us for getting out alive of our care rather than our acknowledging them for the opportunity to be of service, to be our patients? And by the way, you think about it, a 3.5-day stay, the average reimbursement is about $4,500 to $7,000. So it seems to me that we ought to be acknowledging somebody for their being there and for the opportunity to serve. I think that's a key point. Let's move on. E, we're all done. Thank you allowing me to draw some blood. Do you have any questions before I go? Is there anything else I can do for you? Is there anything else I can do for you? Now, these next 4 words, you get this by your staff who have not bought in yet. You get this, I can't say I have the time. I don't have the time. I don't have time to pee. Listen, just being able to say, I have the time, in reality, does not add. They're not going to sit down and say, well, let me think of 13 things I can ask you to do. But it sure is a nice touch, isn't it? It's a nice punctuation. And yes, people know you're busy, but your care matters. It does not take a moment more to care than to be condescending. It doesn't take a moment more to be empathetic than it does to be needlessly uninterested. So my question to all of you is, why is it important to have a thoughtful, scripted, and we won't use the word script, how about words that work, approach to serving with empathy, with interest, and compassion? And again, if you like this PowerPoint, I'm going to just let you know right now that you can have this digital PowerPoint so you can use this for educational purposes with your executive team. Recommendation number 3, folks, is admitting identifies patient care preferences. It's very important, I think, and it's a fantastic opportunity that when admitting is doing their job and they've got the patient for quite some time, to ask the question, what is important to you during your stay here? What is important to you in the way you're cared for? Because we want to understand what patients' preferences are, what's important to them. What does good patient care mean to you? And so that gets onto the chart, and which takes me to recommendation number 4, and that is install patient-centered whiteboards. Now, it's not just install it, but it's use it and make it work. Now, this is a model that one of our clients, Wilson Medical Center in Kansas, was just getting ready to install. So what do patients need today? What day is it? Are there any fall precautions or skin precautions or denture care or hearing aid care? These are some of the 4 key criteria. What room are you in? Who is the nurse that is caring for you? Who is the CNA that is caring for you? What is the telephone number here? And by the way, what's wrong with putting the administrator's cell phone number? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Or director of nursing cell phone number. You want to know the ADLs in terms of bed and chair and ambulet. Is there any special diet? And then plan of care patient preference. If the patient says the number one thing for me is not to be in pain, or if the patient says, please serve me hot food maybe we ought to pay attention. Because if you were getting discharged from your local Holiday Inn Express, well, I have to say I stayed at Holiday Inn Express, and I'm a lot smarter because I do. And you got a bill for two-night stay for $3,500, what would you expect? Would you expect the hotel to have paid attention to your preferences? And by the way, how about pain control? Where are you on that? We are not going to make drug addicts out of a patient in 3.5 or 4 days. Now, in ER, of course, there's issues of the frequent flyer, but that's not the issue for most inpatients. Which now takes me to recommendation number 5, and that is begin administrator welcome visits and staff rounding. Let me talk about administrative patient welcome visits for a moment. The concept is this, that in every hospital, whether it's critical access or there's a large urban hospital, every new inpatient would be greeted and welcomed by a member of the executive team every day. And what that rounding sounds like is, hello, my name is Brian Lee. I'm CEO of this hospital here. I want to welcome you to Acme Hospital. Our intention here is to make this a safe and positive experience for you. I'm going to get you out as quickly as possible, get you feeling better. You have any concerns whatsoever, you ask anybody that is in this room. And here's your call light, here's what you use. And by the way, if for some reason looking after you slips through the crack, here's my card, you give me a call. Now, we have seen impressive results from these administrative welcome visits. And you know, if I had time with you, I'd talk about a dozen benefits. But the number one benefit of administrative patient welcome visit is staff seeing the C-level team on the floor paying attention to patients and customers. It will help sensitize leadership. You're going to learn things. It's an opportunity to improve the experience. Patients are going to be impressed. There's a dozen benefits, but the biggest benefit is staff seeing that this is number one priority. And, of course, while you're rounding, you have an opportunity to observe the physical environment, which is question number 8 and HCAHPS domain number 4, and that is how often were your room and bathroom kept clean. Seems like a pretty basic thing, but it's basic things. My definition of excellence is a superb execution of the basics. Number 9, how often was the area around your room kept quiet at night? This is a huge issue for patients that are exhausted. And I challenge you to go to work and have a productive day when you didn't get a good night's sleep. What happens to your energy and your lethargy and so on? Now, in terms of quiet tips, there's some great tools that will help you monitor, such as Yakker Trackers or noisemeters.com. It's the more expensive one, of course, that works better, and I've heard some great things about noisemeters.com you might want to check out. But we've got to get control of this issue. And how about turning down the lights during quiet time? And how about having deliberate quiet time, quiet periods during the day? So there's a whole series of best practices to reduce quietness. Recommendation number 6, begin consistent daily leader rounding. Now, we've been working with hospitals to transform the cultures to improve patient, employee, and physician satisfaction for 15 years. As a matter of fact, on May 1, we're celebrating 25 years of being in business. Absolutely the number one disconnect that I can tell you of working with hospitals to transform the culture is middle managers not buying in, not owning the process, not being held accountable, and not being connected to their staff. And the most significant best practice I can recommend to you is daily leader rounding. Now, we conduct an annual conference, and this year we were honored to have the Honorable Conrad Mallett Jr., who is the CEO at Sinai Grace in Detroit, speak on the issue of leadership transformation to world class. And Conrad is an awesome example of MBWA, management by wandering around. And so we recommend job number one for every leader. In fact, I recommend you not allow the scheduling of meetings between 8 and 10 a.m. in the morning. Because during that time, every leader is to first and foremost round with their staff. Now, MBWA doesn't mean wander around, interrupt staff, and talk about yourself. MBWA means you do it at the beginning of the shift. You check in with every employee that's on that shift. A, personally, how are you doing? How's your daughter doing? I understand she had the flu. I understand your husband is away for 3 days. Check in with them personally. And check in with job issues. Do you have everything you need? This is a great opportunity to connect with them. Do they have the tools to do the job? Is there anything I can do to help? Is there anything I can do to help you right now? Now, you round with your staff, then you round with your patients or your customers. And this will be different for everybody. If you're a nursing director or a nursing manager, you round with every patient, you know what to do. If you're a support service, the way you connect with your customers will be different for everybody. In emergency, rounding with patients will be different than outpatient. But the point here is you want to connect as much as you can given the volume that you have. Which now takes me, folks, you heard me talk about accountability throughout this presentation, which takes me to recommendation number 7. If you got nothing else out of this presentation, I want you to remember lucky number 7. And that is schedule quarterly CEO administrator service support roundtables. What's a service support roundtable? Have you ever been so embarrassed about something you couldn't talk about it for years, just out of curiosity? Many years ago, I was a member of Calgary City Council. I was so excited. I got elected when I was 27. And about 2 weeks after we'd been sworn in, I was going down to see the mayor one day, who was a good friend. And he was coming out of his office, and I said, "Your Worship, I need to talk to you." He said, "Brian, I need to talk to you." And, of course, my ego was somewhat inflated. I said, "Of course you do. You're the mayor. I'm a member of council. Together, you and I will decide the future of our city." He said, "Brian, it wasn't quite that grand an issue. I just wanted to give you some feedback. You know, I've been to a lot of meetings, and you, my friend, have bad breath." I thought he was joking. He says, "I'm serious. You have halitosis, my friend." How humiliating for the mayor of Calgary to tell me that I had bad breath. My girlfriend didn't tell me, my staff didn't tell me, my friends didn't tell me, but it was true. I would brush my teeth early in the morning, I wouldn't get home till late at night, and I'll tell you what I do now. Two things: I have my teeth cleaned 3 times a year, and I carry Banaca breath mint in my pants just in case I go somewhere and somebody wants to give me a hug goodbye. Anyways, do we help people by telling them and giving them feedback about how to improve? Big time. You know, customers are doing us a gift when they give us negative feedback. Ben Franklin said, "That which is painful instructs," because we can then do something about it. So the concept of a roundtable is this. On a quarterly basis, let me just talk about this for a moment. 4 days after you get your quarterly report from your vendor, whether it's HealthStream or Prescani or JL Morgan or Avatar or whoever it is, you conduct a meeting with each member of the executive team. So let's talk about the chief nurse officer. And the chief nurse officer would bring in all her nursing directors and managers into the boardroom. And the CEO would be present. Now, the meeting is run by the chief nurse officer, not the CEO, but it's called a CEO service support roundtable. And for somewhere between an hour and a half, you review the drill down and the results of your most recent patient satisfaction scores. You discuss where things improved and why. You discuss where things are stagnant and not improving and why. And above all, you brainstorm an action plan question by question. Now keep in mind that there's really 20 key questions on HCAHPS. For many of you, you're still using larger surveys as well. And of course, the two overall questions. And you've got to learn how to be great at each one of those questions. And the next step for these roundtables is that within 48 hours after the roundtable, the manager submits an action plan for the next 3 months to target and address the issues in the questions they own. There's no point everybody owning all your HCAHPS questions, because when everybody owns all the questions, nobody owns anything. They need to be held accountable for the questions they can influence, their staff can influence, their team can influence. Now, I'm covering a lot of information here fast. Think of this webinar as, which typically we do in 6 hours or a day, think of this as the Reader's Digest version of Gone with the Wind. So I'm extending to everybody listening here today 1 hour private coaching call. There's no charge for this. If you'll call Chris at the number 1-800-667-7325, he'll set up a coaching call for you. And it doesn't have to be yourself. It can be your executive team. It can be a department team. Now, 8 of you cannot get together, pool your free hour, and get a free day. It doesn't work that way. But I am happy to coach you one-on-one, and we are going to ask you to send us an email, get backgrounding, your situation. And I do these coaching calls every week, and I love doing them. And again, if I can expand upon one of these issues or two of these issues from this webinar here today. So let's look at discharge information. Question number 19, did doctors, nurses, and other hospital staff talk with you about whether you would have the help you needed when you left the hospital? Number 20, did you get information in writing about what symptoms or health problems to look out for after you left the hospital? So again, this is an opportunity in your CEO roundtable for those accountable for discharge information to drill down and address and target and understand and improve this particular domain, which is domain number 7. So let me again summarize how a service support roundtable works. It's organized by each VP. It's held 4 to 5 days after receipt of the quarterly report. It's in the CEO's boardroom, the opportunity to drill down and truly understand results and celebrate success and adopt service improvement plan as a follow-up. So I will say this. We are not very flexible with our clients. If they're serious about improvement, they have got to be doing these roundtables. We would not hesitate to do this on budget review if there is a variance. Why wouldn't we? Why do we allow variance when it comes to the patient experience? Which takes me to recommendation number 8, and that is the most successful new best practice in nursing care in a decade, and it's called hourly rounding using HCAHPS scripting. So if we look at responsiveness of hospital staff, question number 4, after you press the call light button, how often did you get help as soon as you wanted it? Number 11, how often did you get help in getting to the bathroom or using a bedpan as soon as you wanted? So those are a couple of examples of responsiveness of hospital staff. So hourly rounding is simply this. A member of staff visits each patient hourly from 6 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, every 2 hours between 10 and 6 a.m. Nurses and nursing assistants, or LPNs, alternate visits, or CNAs, or whatever you call them. And what you want to do is pay attention to patients' basic needs are met all at once, not via multiple call lights. So, for example, you want to focus on the 3 P's, which is pain, position, and potty, and the 4 R's. In other words, do they need any more with respect to medication or reach of the things they want or respond to questions or, and above all, reassure them about their care and concern. So a very simple agenda for that visit. Now, the benefits that we have learned about from encouraging our clients to phase this in is there's fewer call light interruptions in your day. For a nurse, there's more free time for other tasks. You have more control of your daily schedule because you're preparing your patients for regularity. You have happier, more satisfied patients. And you have a quieter unit throughout the day, less unplanned interruptions, and there's a significant reduction in patient falls because you are there on a proactive and not a reactive basis. Research on hourly rounding in 14 hospitals showed a 9-point sustained increase in patient satisfaction overall score. Are you getting excited, folks? 52% reduction in patient falls, 37% reduction in call light use. There alone we ought to make a case for hourly rounding. 14% decline in skin breakdowns. In addition, one hospital measured a 20% reduction in the distance walked each day by the nursing staff. Now, the only thing preventing you from hourly rounding is poor nursing to staff ratios. And if you're in excess, in reality, in med-surg, of 1 to 6, 1 to 7, 1 to 8, then I don't know how your staff are going to be able to do hourly nurse rounding. But 1 to 6, 1 to 5, 1 to 4, I don't know how many have 1 to 4 anymore, you have no problem doing this, and it is a great best practice. Recommendation number 9. Physician education on HCAHPS best practice competencies. How can you improve your outcomes without gaining a buy-in from docs who, A, may work for you and not care, and B, may not work for you and may or may not care? So what we want to do is focus on physician education on HCAHPS best practices because HCAHPS domain number 2 is crucial. Question number 5, how often do doctors treat you with courtesy and respect? Number 6, how often do doctors listen carefully to you? And we should put in brackets during their 15-second sneak and peek. And number 7, how often do doctors explain things to you in a way that you could understand? Caution, expect physicians to be in denial. If leadership and staff are not literate about patient satisfaction scores, we find the last bastion of resistance in hospitals are physicians. And typically when we go in to do a physician briefing, the reaction reaction we hear from physicians is, well, it's only the negative customers that complain. These numbers aren't accurate. They're not valid. And, you know, this is coming from people who think of themselves as scientists. So what we want to recommend and where we've had tremendous success with is comparative ranking of physician-patient satisfaction scores. And the concept is this, that by department and between departments, that doctors would know how they're doing compared to their peers. We know that you can't necessarily motivate a physician because they want to make more money, although we know some will. You know that you can't motivate all physicians because of idealism and values, although some will. But no doctor wants to be at the bottom of a list comparing him or herself to his or her peers. And so we recommend that on a quarterly basis, you report to physicians their patient satisfaction scores on a percentile basis relative to their peers. Now, to do this, almost every vendor can give you this data, but you're going to have to code on your reports that you send to the vendor who was the captain of the ship for each patient encounter. Recommendation number 10, Pilot HCAHPS Bellwether. We call this a patient experience report card or early warning weekly. Now, my mother, Margot, has been in the hospital twice in the past 14 months because she fell and broke her wrist. This falling is such a difficult issue, and I'm in town when it happens. And there's this old cliche that a happy customer will tell five others and an unhappy customer will tell 12. Well, I did a study of my mom. She tells everybody, and I've noticed that the average number of people at a wedding and at a funeral is 250. Folks, what else are you going to do? You come out of a hospital for emergency or an outpatient care, or you're an inpatient, you are going to tell everybody about that experience. It is all about you. And so the word of mouth is so crucial. And so what we want to do is we want to plant the seed of an idea. And it's called a patient experience report card. And the concept is this. Most vendors who do paper surveys will share the information with you quarterly, although you can go online and get it anytime you want. But in reality, when you're getting those reports, they're 4 or 5 months old. Even phone vendors, because they've got to submit data to HCAHPS, you're typically getting data 5 or 6 weeks old. And so what we have been piloting and experimenting with is the concept of a small mini computer that on the screen the patient would have an opportunity to give feedback on questions similar to HCAHPS while they're in the hospital on a confidential basis. Now, we do not recommend using all 22 questions. We say pick a theme, pick a domain, pick 3 questions on nursing, or pick it on pain and medication control, and get data on a daily and weekly basis so that you can respond on a daily, weekly basis and show true continuous improvement. And so we're very excited about this idea because, for example, question number 16, before giving you any medicine, how often did the hospital staff tell you what the medicine was for? This is an opportunity for you to improve on a daily and weekly basis. Question number 17, before giving you any new medicine, how often did the hospital staff describe possible side effects in a way you could understand? Again, this is an opportunity to improve continuously on a daily or weekly basis. Recommendation number 11, Service Excellence Council begins weekly review action planning using bellwether trending. Well, what we mean here is this. Every organization that is serious about HCAHPS and value-based purchasing should have an effective Service Excellence Council. We recommend that it be 60% management, it be comprised of 40% frontline staff. We also feel strongly that it should be chaired by the chief nurse officer, and there should be a few other executives as well on the team. And then its role is to lead the process. And if you do get daily and weekly results, at the very minimum, your Service Excellence Council, in support of the departmental director, should be monitoring these outcomes, which now takes me to recommendation number 12. And that is everybody should participate in a weekly aiming for always huddle. HCAHPS, value-based purchasing, the patient experience should not be about an annual report card or a quarterly review or a monthly discussion. It should happen on a weekly basis. And so we recommend the idea of a weekly 15-minute, we call it aiming for always huddle, because we always want our patients to rate us a 4 out of 4 or a 9 and 10 out of 10. And it's true in nursing, there's not a lot of time, you're busy, everybody's running, but everybody can afford to huddle for 15 minutes during their shift where you share something you've learned, something you've learned from rounding, something you've learned from your patient reports, perhaps something you've learned from some similar program to Bellwether, something you can share on a continuous basis where they can act on it on a continuous basis. And so if you get your frontline involved, which is why we're so enthusiastic about this concept of frontline leaders, we call them service excellence advisors, you need to, as recommendation number 13 says, initiate recognition and acknowledgement of unit and department-based improvements via a semi-annual service summit. So there are some global ratings you want to pay attention to. 21, what number 0 to 10 would you use to rate this hospital during your stay? And number 22, would you recommend? So my hospital of choice challenge to you folks is to take action and do something, because what we know is that 93% of what you hear in a webinar or a live classroom experience is forgotten within 14 days unless you use it. Use it or lose it. Don't forget my offer of 1 hour of coaching, and I'd be delighted if every one of the people listening to this webinar today were called for coaching. We'd schedule it out over a few months, but we'll make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no single silver bullet. There is no one best practice that everybody's seeking that will solve your problem. You've got to be firing on all cylinders. Let me summarize, if I may, how to do that. Number one, calculate your value-based purchasing risk. If you don't want to do it yourself, we'd be happy to assist you with it. There's no charge for any of this. Number two, appoint a value-based purchasing chief officer. Chief value-based purchasing officer. CVBPO. There's a snappy word. Someone who owns this. Number three, use this PowerPoint as an educational tool internally. We'd be happy to share it with you. Number four, above all, do not fail to brief your executive team of what you've learned on this webinar here today. Number five, schedule a boot camp. Get all your leadership involved. Number six, do not underestimate the power and the magic of enthusiasm that comes when you get frontline buy-in. For every hour you invest up front getting frontline ownership, it'll pay an 8-hour dividend of lack of grief and frustration later on. Number seven, consider a bellwether pilot. Number eight, use this checklist, the 13 points that I've just covered. Number nine, utilize a coaching officer. And number 10, above all, focus on making a difference. Why did you get into healthcare in the first place? I'm assuming that for everybody listening today is because you wanted to help, you wanted to care for people, you wanted to make a difference. So let me summarize again. If you go to customlearning.com, you can request the value-based purchasing calculation. You can learn more about our boot camp. You can have the checklist for today's presentation. And again, we'd be happy to share this PowerPoint. Now, if I discover that you have taken this PowerPoint, started selling yourself as a professional speaker on the road, then I may have a word or two with you. But basically, as long as you use this internally, we'd be delighted for you to use this as an educational purpose. So if you're going to act, we want you to act with urgency. Act quickly. Remember, you'll forget what you learned unless you do something about it. So act with quick response. Our mission here today was how to leverage the HCAHPS survey to best position your hospital for maximum VBP reimbursement. So what's the first accountability step? Every time you have a learning experience, every time you have a meeting, every time you meet one-on-one with a subordinate, just think WWWNH. Who will do what, by when, and how? Who will do what, by when, and how? I want to thank you for your interest, your time, and your commitment to making a difference. Now, just get out there and do it, and have a great day. All the very best.